This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
This is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Pete Bunce. He's the president of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, and he was among the many people in GA who was consulted by the reporter who did the USA Today story that came out today, and they've been responding to that all day long. So, Pete, thanks for talking to us today.
Good to be with you, Mary. I'm up on Capitol Hill right now. We're talking to several legislators about the story all today.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about the background of how you participated or how the reporter talked to you when he was writing the story.
Yeah, I personally didn't get to talk to him, my engineering staff, because what he was looking for was some technical details on general aviation safety. And he initially contacted us under the pretext that he wanted to do a story about our very successful effort with Part 23 and getting the Small Aircraft Revitalization Act passed by the Congress and signed into law by the President last year. And it quickly became apparent to my engineers that he was fishing for something else. And at some point during this discussion, he said they were giving him too many technical facts and not telling him what he wanted to hear. And so it was obvious that his conclusions were arrived at before he even started. And he had an agenda, and he went for it. So it's very concerning for us, not only because of the inaccuracies that he wrote throughout the article and how he misread statistics and how he discounted safety professionals in the government and industry, and what they do is they analyze accidents and try to prevent next ones. But then it also upsets us that even if you bought his entire line of reasoning, which is flawed, his conclusions were 180 out from what they should have been. And those conclusions said we need more regulation, and it's actually over-regulation that's driven up costs and prevented us from being able to provide at a very cost-effective basis technology that can improve safety for the existing fleet of aircraft out there. It costs too much to be able to do supplemental type certificates and to certify a lot of products, and as we drive costs up, then less people that have the aircraft, the existing fleet of aircraft out there, are willing to pay that expensive cost. And sometimes the manufacturers don't even pursue it because they know that the FAA burden of the regulatory hoops are so high that the cost will be so high that the consumer won't want it. So that's one of the offshoots out of the Part 23 initiative, is to try to have a process where we can get this modern technology, which is moving very rapidly, into pilots' hands so they can put it in their aircraft.
And so what is the repercussions that you're dealing with there in Washington today?
Well, I think the repercussions are, I think everybody's listening very much. First of all, you have to remember that the entire Congress, now, so that's 100 members of the Senate and 435 members of the House, each voted unanimously with the fact that we needed to do something about the streamlining regulations and the overburdensome of regulations that has really impeded safety. And so they passed this bill unanimously, and now it is law. So each one of these members of the United States Congress understood the safety argument, which is totally different than what this reporter, what his conclusions are. So that is very good. And what we're doing is just reinforcing what they did last year is the smart way to do business, and how misleading this article really is about general aviation and about safety.
And what is the status of that now, the general, the Part 23, effort?
Well, it's moving along. Industry has delivered its first increment of what is needed to get a notice of proposed rulemaking out there. But I am very thankful that we have a law on the books, because, quite frankly, I think the FAA, left to its own devices, would slow roll this, and we have to be able to keep pushing it. And so we expect, if the FAA is going to meet the law of the land, be able to have the rule completed by the end of next year, that they need to be getting an NPRM out on the street by the end of this year, or at the very latest, the beginning of next year. And we want to hold our feet to the fire on this, because this is extremely important for us to make real positive change in safety, but we also want to extend this process to be able to derive the safety benefits to the rotorcraft community next.
Hmm. Well, will that require a different law or rulemaking process?
Completely different. They're regulated under Part 27 and Part 29, whereas fixed wing are Part 23 to Part 25. But what we now have is a very good model, and we have an accepted standard that world regulators are now recognizing as the way to go. And that's really neat for us, that it's just not working with the FAA. We're working with EASA and with Transport Canada and ANAC in Brazil and the CAC in China and many others. And this is going to be global rulemaking where we can keep the rules fresh. And where we can, we're making the standards on the Part 23 aircraft specific and not airplane specific. So if you have a standard that's established for, let's say, structures that you can apply to rotorcraft, it's an aircraft standard that can easily be used in the, on the rotorcraft side. So that should actually speed that process when we get to rulemaking and rule changes on the rotorcraft side.
So it sounds like this Part 23 initiative is well underway and has a lot of support. And so you don't see this one USA Today story as having any real significant effect on that.
Well, you never say never, because you don't know how crazy things go. And, of course, you know, there is still these reverberations from the issues that GM is dealing with right now with the recalls and the ignition switch. So any story that is in that type of safety realm may or may not have legs. But what we're trying to do is just get the ground truth out to the folks that help craft this legislation and actually would be ones to drive any type of regulatory change and tell them, hey, we are on a good path towards safety, and it's through their help that we could make real change and provide a true benefit for operators.
Okay, well, thanks for taking some time to talk to us. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think it is, you know, the thing that makes me feel good is that all of us are together in this. I've already been with Mark Baker at AOPA today, talking with Jack Pelton, with Ed Boland and Tom Hendricks and Matt Zaccaro from HAI. So all of the GA associations, whenever we have something like this, we definitely go and get together and say, okay, how do we truly get our message out so people realize that what we're doing has the operator's best interest in mind as far as trying to promote aviation safety and making as good a products in the safety realm as we can and trying to move the needle on safety. Because obviously any death in aviation is one too many, and we want to make it better, and we work together closely to do that. But it's neat just to see that when we have a situation like this, everybody's communicating, everybody's on message, and we get together very, very rapidly to support everyone that's in general aviation.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Mary.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.